Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. And now, here is today's presentation.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. When the crowds came to John for baptism, he said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. And even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even corrupt tax collectors came to the baptized and said, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And he replied, 'Collect no more taxes than the government requires.' And then some soldiers came forward and said, 'John, what should we do?' And John replied, 'Don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay.' Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be that Messiah. John answered the question by simply saying, 'I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie his straps of his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. The Gospel of Christ. Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all who are present be worthy in thy hearing. During the 400 years between Malachi and the birth of John the Baptist, Israel, the people, were leaderless, without a prophet, and there had been a moral degradation in the land. People didn't hear a response from God, and they either thought, "He doesn't care, or he's not listening anyways, I can do whatever I want." That moral compass was missing for these people. But the religious leaders were no better. They had also not taught the commandments powerfully and meaningfully to this people in despair. Then suddenly John the Baptist appears in the Judean desert. Not as a religious man. No, not as a religious man. but as a rugged prophet who seems to have the power and inspiration of Elijah. John comes to them as a messenger from God with divine authority and holy conviction, not found in the religious leaders in their communities. His focus on preaching, well, it was for the repentance for their sins and turning back to God to be forgiven for their sins. It would seem that the religious leaders hadn't shared the key Ten Commandments and everything that's associated with all the Torah to bring these people into line for that many, 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 many years. It seemed to strike a chord, a powerful chord, in the hearts of those that heard him. They recognized Isaiah 40 speaking to them from their Torah. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord is coming." And you know what? I believe they were surprised by joy. Surprised by joy. At last, there was a voice that was guiding them. At last, there was a spirit that made a difference that said, "You can count if you want to. It's time to stand up and be worthy." And I think people want good leadership, bringing them back to the truth. I think it also brought what you and I know as messianic hope. They knew there was a Messiah coming, but hadn't heard that message well enough in the last 400 years. The leaders had let them down. Their long-awaited Lord is coming, and they were ready to hear and respond to John's vibrant message. Prepare yourselves for the imminent coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Make yourself ready, because soon all people will see the salvation sent from God. That's good news. And the people responded, "He is close at hand." John must have been a powerful speaker. He had to have touched hearts that had been dormant, indifferent, uncaring for years. There would be people in that crowd that was never once really heard the good news in any way, shape, or form about the promised Messiah. So they came to John in the wilderness, along the Jordan. The Jordan River that's so famous in their Torah. That's where Joshua led them across into the promised land. Moses standing there saying, "You have come at last to your promised land." And it's that Jordan River right at Jericho where that took place. And that's understood to be the traditional area where the preaching and teaching of John the Baptist was. And that was a source of water that he baptized people that made a decision for Christ, or not for Christ, made a decision for God to follow and repent for their sins. Interesting location. When I was there, in modern days, you know, a town is a town, you know, in a way. Sort of like going through, you know, Perth or Carleton Place or Elmont, you know, like in modern day, that's what it's like. But there are parts of it which you seek out if you've got a good guide who will take you to the desert, somewhere where you can actually experience what John the Baptist is all about. And that's what we'd experience. We went to that very location. It's pretty bleak, pretty challenging. It's far away from the familiar trappings of religion found in the synagogues and in the temple. John wasn't pleasant or comforting in his delivery either. He starts off with this powerful phrase, "Good morning, you brood of vipers, you snakes. Who warned you to flee God's wrath?" Not too much of a warm-up there, is there? His unique, powerful message resonated It resonated off those rocks, off that sand, and hit their heart in a surprisingly welcoming note. They were being challenged. They were being challenged to prove by the way they live that they were worthy of their imminent Messiah. Live like you are worthy of that coming. I think people have a real desire to return to the Word. The Word that each of us in this room here on Sunday read and study it in our liturgy, which is so gifted with. The whole thing is written from the Bible, actually. That's one thing I love about the Annick liturgy. Every praise that we do is already found in the source of our comfort and love. But if you've been away from it for a while, you've missed the mystery of God's love. You've probably missed the chance to be touched by that Word that's meant to be powerfully moving. Live like you are repentant for your sins and have returned to God's Word. One of our members commented when we did the Decalogue 2 weeks ago, we only traditionally do the Ten Commandments twice a year. The reason that he said to me after the service was, the fourth commandment wasn't emphasized very much. And I think he's right. You know, when Jesus takes the commandments, the Shema, talking about loving God with all your heart and mind and soul, and then he says, and that second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, studying the Ten Commandments is missed too often for us. That's why I'm so glad that at least minimum, right, at least minimum, we get a chance to hear it twice a year and challenge us. And that's what those people needed. Now, they didn't have what we have today. They had the Shema. That's, of course, where it came from, you know. But they didn't have the other part. Well, yeah, they did. If they really studied the Scriptures, the Ten Commandments, they really did get it. But it took Jesus to make it clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. Challenging, isn't it? Here he was, windy, dusty river area. No wonderful temple to sit down and listen to the Word. Nobody walking around with gorgeous gowns like those priests would. Just a guy standing there in pretty casual clothes, a rugged prophet. And he really got the nerve. He hit their nerve powerfully. I think, and I'm pretty sure, that some of these people in the crowds, both the religious leaders and the everyday folk, were battered by this barrage of accusations. They shouted back, we read today, they shouted back to John indignantly, who do you think you are, John? Speaking to us, we are proud descendants of Father Abraham. We are safe. Those hearts had not been touched by John's message. They were defending their style. We're good enough. John is recorded both in Luke and Matthew, not backing off his point. I kind of love this guy when you study him and anticipate what was happening in that crowd. For days and days and days and days, people came and heard. And then he said this point. He says, being seeds of Abraham mean nothing. You fools. He didn't say that, but I thought he might have, you know. He might have said that. It certainly sounds like it. This means nothing. God can create children of Abraham from these stones. You're nothing. God can do that. So don't sit in your own safe little pew and think you're so good because you have got seeds that come from Abraham. Let that go. And then he followed it with this statement. The axe is ready to sever your roots and throw them into the fire. If you do not produce good fruit. So he doesn't stop challenging these people. Hey, we're safe. We're descendants of Abraham. We're part of the chosen folk. And he just shuts that down. I think the crowd got the message. It was plain. It was rough. It was challenging. But it was simple. It's not enough to acknowledge and confess your sins. It's not enough to profess that you're part of the family of the chosen people. But you got to show evidence of your change of heart. He's challenged the motives of these people. Yes, they've traveled out into the desert. They've traveled out into the heat. They've traveled out into an area that's not very comfortable. They've left their comfort zone, that's for sure. But they still had not left their prejudices behind. We're the chosen people. We can just hang back and do nothing, really, because we're God's chosen. And that's why we needed to have John the Baptist come forward in a profound way to shake up the people who consider themselves God's chosen, who didn't really have to respond to the decisions that they make. Show evidence of your change of heart. The time has come, John was saying, to stand for God's commandments. Don't postpone your decision any longer. The Messiah is near. Well, they were highly stimulated. You can follow that in the very next words. They had just been challenged beyond anything they would have ever heard. And they tried to defend themselves, and they weren't allowed to defend themselves because they were phonies when they defended the way they did it. And John made it real clear. If you do not produce good fruit, you're heading to the fire. I think he got their message. Because what had happened, very next thing was, then what should we do? What should we do? And John wastes no time in declaring what is in their Torah as God's chosen people. They know it. Show the mercy of God to your brothers and sisters in need and less fortunate than you. Share your blessings. Share your assets. Share your clothing, your food with the hungry. What should you do? I think he's speaking to us today, and I think there's many, many people in these pews and on the YouTube that have taken that to heart. Yes, we are blessed. If we live in Canada, we are blessed. And there are people who are less fortunate in our country, in our community, in our town. Share your blessings is what he would be saying, John the Baptist, if he was sitting here today in front of me and you, if it was his voice, he'd be responding to us, don't take for granted your blessings. Share them. And then the tax collectors. Wow. Now, this is interesting that it should be Luke who refers to these notoriously corrupt people. And they responded also, stimulated and motivated by John the Baptist with his challenge. And they said, what should we do? And his answer, he demanded them to be fair and just and quit gouging people just because you can. Be fair, be lawful. Now, in this world, are we talking to our politicians, both local, provincially, and federally? Is it possible that people need to hear that powerful message one more time as John the Baptist would have shared it? What should we do? Be fair, John said. Be lawful. Quit gouging people just because you can. And then the other crowd, the other part of the crowd, Luke refers to this group as soldiers, or maybe local police. Now, they probably came because they were on duty. Pretty good chance. You know, got to keep the insurrection happening, right? So they come along with the crowds, and they have been hit with a powerful, stimulating message to them. These guys are sitting on the fringe, right? You can see them sort of thinking, well, we're not part of them guys. We're just here doing our job. We're just getting paid. And we're not getting paid very much either. And then, what should we do? And he says, don't overreach or overstep your power and authority. Don't use your position to extort money from ordinary people. And don't make false accusations or claims to impact negatively on the lives of others. You could. You're a police officer. You could. And maybe you do, is what he's saying to them. Don't overreach or overstep your power and authority. You're here to protect. Do it well. But don't use it as a chance to badger people. Don't extort money. And don't make false accusations or claims against people who are not accused, should be not accused of anything. But if you're in a position of authority, you can do that. Don't, is what John the Baptist is telling these people. So today, I guess we could have to ask the question that seems pretty obvious to us today in the message that Luke is reading us. What should we do? You and I. What should we do? I don't know about you. I couldn't read this week. I read it all, you know, all week. I've been reading some commentaries and I'm praying about it. Help me, Lord. Search these words so I can get a message prepared for Sunday. But that question had to come to me very clearly. Dave, what are you doing? What can you do for the poor, the helpless, the lonely? What can you do? And I suspect that's rattling around in your forehead too right now. And maybe it makes us feel a little guilty. And it should. That's what John the Baptist is all about. He doesn't want us to be complacent. He wants to shake us out of our complacency. Challenge us to get active and do what we can do to change this world. And then we come to Luke 3:15 in this wonderful world. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. After they heard John, Luke records there was an excitement. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. They knew they were being challenged. And John had hit the chord that these Jewish people from all walks of life in Israel were seeking. They were seeking to hear the good news of God. They'd been promised a deliverer. That was very clear. They already knew that. Somebody that was in their mind who would defeat the bad guys, the Romans, put them in power, get rid of the Romans. They had an opinion of who this Messiah was going to be. He was going to bring peace and prosperity to these chosen people. And then we read Luke's quote. He quotes Isaiah verse 6. We heard it today. All people will see the salvation sent from God. All people, including Gentiles, when the word all is there, it's genuine to say that you and I are included in that statement. All people will see the salvation sent from God. So Luke really means it when he wrote it. All people will see salvation. The poor, from all walks of life, and the rich, and the powerful, and the influential, and the powerless, and the insignificant, are all going to experience totally this empowered Messiah that John is saying is near. And he says, it ain't me, folks. Make it clear. You're looking for a Messiah. The Christ, the anointed one, is not me. I'm the messenger. Make it understood. He says, someone is coming who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. John has their rapt attention with this statement. And when he delivers this statement, he says, this person will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he says, I baptize with water. Nothing compared to what you're going to be baptized with by the Messiah. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with fire. And then we can expect, you know, they would have been familiar with that passage from Joel 2. 28, where it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young people will see visions. So when John talked about this person will baptize with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, if you were willing to use the old words, or with fire, he meant it. And John was not finished, my friends, with this prophecy about the imminent Messiah. It's a serious warning to those expected crowds in the dust and the sand and the wind. They're going to be in judgment. Do you folks realize that? You're going to be in judgment. You're going to be held accountable for your actions towards God's chosen people, to each other, to anyone. Your feet is going to be held to the fire, so to speak. That same fire can cleanse, however, and refine God's people. So John's message is, be ready to be held accountable. How do we know that? Verse 17 says, the Messiah is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barns, but burning the chaff with a never-ending fire. So, my friends, he said, where do you want to stand? Do you want to be in the fire and burned for everlasting life? Or do you want to be in the barn, along, saved, along with God's people? John's message is clear, my friends. Make the right decision with your life because there are consequences. How often do we hear about the consequences in modern day Christianity? Not too often. Most of the time we think, well, I go to church, I put something on the plate, occasionally I'll watch a Christian TV on Crossroads or something, you know, whatever, but that's good enough. Occasionally I might read a Bible study. Maybe it isn't. Maybe we do have to be more accountable for the blessings that we're about to receive, because the Messiah is coming. Make no mistake, your Messiah is coming, and he will sheaf the chaff from the wheat. Not everybody is going to make the cut. because of an attitude that says, I'm good enough. Well, in closing, I'd like to refer to the Philippians message that David read to us to this day. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. That you're making a difference in all you do. To the small, insignificant folks in your world, make a difference. The Lord is coming soon. And then he continues, and don't worry about anything. You think you're not worthy? If you've made a decision for Christ, Paul is saying, if you know who he is, you know he's your Savior, and you've said, I am a sinner, Lord, please bless me. Like we looked at that song, The River, today. Wasn't that fantastic? Several times I got emotional just reading the words. Come to the river. Make a decision. But don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he has done for you. And then you will experience peace. Paul made a point. A peace that will exceed everything you've ever understood about peace. It will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. So we've gone a bit of a circle, haven't we? We've gone from John, the rugged person sharing, and then Paul wrapping it up for us this morning. So as John asked us today, take his warning as a messenger of the coming Messiah. Repent for your sins and turn to God to be forgiven. Or else. This is the good news. Take heed, my brothers and sisters, and especially Dave. Amen. Let's hear the scriptures spoken to us today. Hear the words of comfort our Savior Christ says to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish, whoever believes in him, but instead have eternal life. And hear what St. Paul says. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us sinners. The comfortable words from our scriptures.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca, and be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love.